Yeah. All right, Schloss, great to see you. How are you?
Miguel, I'm doing pretty good, man. How are things on my old stomping grounds? Things in
They're
Phoenix good?
great, man. They're great. We had a kind of a cold, wet winter, and now it's getting warm, so the golf season is ramping up, and things are great. We miss you here.
The same way, man.
So listen, well, it's cold where you're at, right?
Yeah, I'm here right outside Philadelphia. I got the Marion hat. I got to, represent my new stomping grounds. And, the weather this winter has been pretty moderate. We've had a bunch of days where, the weather's been just as good in Philly as it has in the Phoenix Scottsdale area here. And I even, played golf, outdoor golf here in on President's Day. It was like 58 and sunny. I went
Wow.
down to the neighboring state, the great state of Delaware, and went out and played. There's barely anyone on the course. Conditions were pretty good for winter. Naturally, I disabled the GPS so I can take the cart off the path. And we had ourselves a good day, me and a family friend. So it was
Oh,
great.
good. Nice. Well, listen, speaking of golf and playing, the professionals didn't really get to finish play because of weather. So we can't really do our traditional post-cut prediction show because there hasn't been a cut yet. So what else could we talk about?
I hear there's some other golf league going on.
That's right. Let's talk about LIV Golf. Now, you had proposed a bunch of questions that I want you to ask me, and I actually didn't really look at the notes deeply because I just wanted us to bounce ideas off each other. I do appreciate the thoroughness of you sending those. That's always been good in the past, but I think here we haven't chatted in such a long time, it'd be good banter. So fire away. What do you got?
All right. So, I've been thinking about how could they possibly incorporate the LIV guys into the world golf rankings? Give me your thoughts on that, and then I have something ready to go. So go ahead,
Yeah.
right
So,
off the cuffs.
Man, I think originally my original thoughts were, of course, there's no way they can be part of the official world golf ranking. It's a limited field with no cut. There's no comparison whatsoever. But at the same time, I feel like when we look at the Olympics, we have players from all around the world. Some are paid, some are not. Wherever they're competing, they're competing against weaker fields because it's not the Olympics. It's not the world's best. So part of me feels that there is a happy medium that is possible, getting players from different leagues, different parts of the world, different formats to play. I mean, it is possible. It happens in the Olympics in both winter sports and in summer sports. They find a way to get these people from different leagues, different rules, different backgrounds to do it. And some are amateurs, some are elite paid millionaires. So I'm not sure what the secret sauce is, but I think if we find the sauce, we can slap it on that burger and everybody chomps down on it and we're all going to love it. That's what I want. I want the secret sauce to make the cheeseburger better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more because, we're not going to get into, all the politics and who's funding this LIV Golf League because that's a whole different area that, we're diehard golfers, we're diehard golf fans. We're not going to go down that road. But the way that I think the official world golf rankings could incorporate this is maybe you give out half the points or even three quarters of the points of your standard, PGA event, like a John Deere Open, whatever the case might be, because they're playing only three rounds. They're not playing four, which that I can take or leave whether or not you want the three rounds or the four rounds. That's just up to the players themselves, which league they prefer to play in. But you have to give them some points because, well, let's think about it. Brooks Koepka, he's with this LIV Golf, right? He has still won four of the past 22 majors. Right now, do you know where he sits in the official world golf rankings?
Is he outside the top 50?
Oh, yes, he is.
Tell me, where's he at?
He's at 98. Okay.
Okay.
We all know Brooks Koepka is better than the 98th best golfer in the world. This is a guy, like I said, who's won four out of the past 22 majors. Only 19 people in the history of the sport, which goes back to old Tom Morris. Do you know about old Tom Morris?
I've heard of him.
You've heard of him. Okay, he won the Open Championship, I think, between 1868 and 1872, something like that. So he was born in 1821. only 19 other people in the history of the sport have won more majors than Brooks Koepka.
Well, listen, I hear what you're saying, okay? And I agree with what you're saying. It's kind of like Sahith Theegala recently said, I'm not one of the top 30 players right. in the world. I'm overrated. So I agree with what you're saying. Brooks Koepka is certainly not the 98th worst or best player in the world. Did you see Full Swing, though?
I did see Full Swing. He's real screwed up.
Oh, yeah. He himself thinks he's not on par. And what I've been gathering from little snippets and social media here and articles there is that he went to live because he essentially thought his run was over. The injuries, the mental capacity. You know what? Maybe I make my money while I can. And now I'm hearing that he's starting to feel a little perky again and kind of is having a little buyer's remorse. But the point is this. What you're getting at is that there has to be some sort of a paradigm shift in the rankings. I mean, even John Rahm, who's in the PGA Tour, I think the best player in the world,
he's rated
is upset
right
about
now,
the official world golf rankings.
Right. No, and he's got a good point because these are events, these live events. And like you said, when we talked before, this is one going to be in definitely my old stomping grounds down there in Marana, Arizona, right by the University of Arizona. And, you know, these events, they've got big time players. Dustin Johnson's there.
Yeah.
Koepka's there.
Cam Smith, Bryson DeChambeau.
Patrick Reed, as much as he's a punk, he's there. There's talented players there. Even the older guys, the Euros, like Sergio Garcia, Paul Casey, these are still, you know, guys. Paul Casey in that 2020 PGA Championship, he was contending. So there are legitimate players there. The format I don't love. I prefer four rounds.
Don't forget cuts. Abraham Answer.
He's young, Neiman. Yeah, there's guys who can play. The other guy who choked it away on the 72nd hole last year at Southern Hills, he's there. I don't even remember his name. That just goes to show you how deep the talent of professional golf is. But there are really good players that you have to give them some points. You can't have these guys falling out of the events. That's not right to the fans. That's not right to the golfers themselves. And I know that they got their guaranteed cash, but there still has to be a little bit of competitive bones in them, which I think there is. And one more note on this official golf world rankings. Phil Mickelson. Everyone loves Phil, right? He's at 332nd right now. I scrolled that list to see if I can find someone I even ever heard of near him. I found Robert Streb, who is 328. Now, Robert Streb, that unless you're a diehard golf fan like us, you never heard of the guy. And I couldn't even tell you what tournaments he won until I looked it up on his Wikipedia page. He won something called the McGladrey Classic and the RSM Classic. But you know what? That is the same exact tournament. Renamed. And I only knew that because my cousin, my best friend, John, we were best man at each other's weddings. His wife works for that company. I remember when they got renamed and it's put on by the Davis Love III Foundation. You know who Davis Love III's top sponsor is? RSM. Okay, I say this because that's not a big-time tournament that this guy has won, and you're telling me, based on the official world golf rankings, that Phil Mickelson is not as good as Robert Streb when Mickelson did the unthinkable at the 2021 PGA Championship and won it at 50 years old.
Schloss, I love your enthusiasm for these lower-ranked tournaments. I love it. Your personal connection to the RSM Classic is fantastic. I'm blown away. I'm really impressed. But I want to throw some names out at you. You mentioned there are some strong players that live, okay? So let me throw some names out there. And I want to ask this question because it's something I even talk about to my wife. Even my wife gets this what's going on. And I said, hun, none of the big names outside of Cam Smith have actually won a live golf tournament. They have won the team events together. But the only guy who won a LIV golf tournament who's one of these big-time players is Cam Smith. The very first one he entered, he won, but I haven't seen Dustin Johnson win. I haven't seen Brooks Koepka win a LIV golf tournament. I haven't seen Bryson DeChambeau win. I haven't seen Matthew Wolf. I haven't seen Sergio Garcia. I haven't seen – well, Bubba was hurt. I haven't seen Harold Varner III up there. I haven't seen Henrik Stenson. Patrick Reed hasn't won. Well, we know Pat Perez hasn't won.
I know Charles.
One of the big names we're talking about.
He's not a big name.
What's that?
Charles Howell, the third one, but he's not exactly.
Yeah, well, here's some. Name. You want to talk about a personal connection? I saw his very first PGA Tour win in person at Kings Mill in Williamsburg, Virginia. How about that?
and he, Charles Howell III, is up there on the all-time career PGA Tour money earnings.
Money, list. Yeah.
He's probably in the top 20, I would think.
Maybe. I mean, he's always up there. You know, he didn't win a lot, but he's always up there. I mean,
you can make a lot of money with a tied for 12. That's all I got to say about that.
Well, that's like what Kiz said. You know, Kevin Kisner said, they asked him, do you think you can win this? And he goes, no. But they do give a lot of money for 20th place. Who you were talking about at the 2022 was Mito Pereira.
Thank you. See, couldn't even remember his name.
And don't forget, Joaquin Niemann went to live. Sebastian Munoz. Let's see who else is in here.
I mean, there's guys you'd have to be so deep in the weeds of golf fans, like Bernd Wiesberger, I think is the guy's name, a European guy, something to that effect.
Well, here's my point, though. These guys haven't won. So my question is the talent field that deep competitively, or is this proof that these guys truly did sell out and they don't have a competitive bone in their body?
I think there's has not been enough of a sample size.
Okay,
you know, we're only through one event this year. Last year, what was there? 8 events last year.
Keep in mind that the guys who won were the older guys, like Charles Howell III, like I'm going blank right now.
Because again, I can't get into the live. I tried at first because I thought it was cool that it was on YouTube, like the first event. But since then, I'm not watching it. I mean, I read about who wins, and then it's in one ear, out the other. I think the question is that we really should focus on here is, do you like the majors, including the LIV guys?
Absolutely.
Let's shift to that because we're getting all over the place here. Do you like the majors, including the LIV guys? Tell me why.
I absolutely like that. I'm absolutely ecstatic about that. I'm going to go back to my Olympics analogy. If the world number one player comes from China or Russia, they have to be in that competition. If I want to call the American number one in the world, I have to see the American beat whoever it is, whatever country they're from. I have to see an American beat them to feel good about taking gold medal. And, you know, like, we're not going to talk politics, but the reality is that when politics do come in, and when Russia didn't come to the LA Olympics, you know, that's weird to me. That isn't the highest form of elite competition. So I'm ecstatic that they're going to all the majors, and I hope it stays that way.
Right, because you want those fields to be as strong as possible. Because, you know, if you're the Masters, like, why would you keep Cameron Smith out? Why would you keep Phil Mickelson, who's won the Masters several times, Dustin Johnson, who's won before, Patrick Reed, Sergio Garcia? These guys, for the most part, they're all eligible. Even a guy like Henrik Stenson, you're going to see, obviously, at the Open Championship, because he won it in 2016. He's good till he turns 60. You have to have these guys there because those four tournaments, those are the pinnacle of professional golf. So I agree. I thought we'd come on here and get into all types of disagreement, because when we had done these, you know, golf chats in the past, you were hyping up, you know, these tournaments in Detroit that, you know, you, me, and 8 other guys are watching.
The Quicken Loan? DeChambeau.
Yes, thank you. I couldn't think of the name of it. As Bryson DeChambeau couldn't hit an iron shot there, he's bombing the ball 450, but he can't hit an 8-iron from 170 out or whatever his yardage is for that number. But I think you have to have these guys in the field, especially if they're qualified. You know, they're qualified based on winning a major. Because, you know, real quick for the people that don't know, if you win an Open Championship, you're good till you're 60 years old. You can keep playing. You win a U.S. Open, you're good for the next 10 U.S. Opens. If you win the Masters, you're good for that tournament life, for your life. If you win the PGA Championship, same thing. And if you win any of those majors, you're good for all of the preceding next 5 years majors. So,
speaking of that, I am a little upset that the fifth, the unspoken. Well, right. We speak about it. Everybody speaks about it. The Players' Championship is the fifth major. And your defending champ isn't there. Not by choice, like when Phil decided not to defend the PGA Championship. Right. He has been blacklisted. Literally. They took the signage off the buildings of their current champion. They took posters and pictures off. They took his name off. That's literally blacklisting. And I think that's a shame. Now, I want to bring up
something. You wanted him to come back and play and defend himself, defend his title.
Say that again?
You wanted him to have the chance to defend his title this year.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. I think that after he won the British Open, I think we were quite possibly going to see the dawn of another star. So if we talk about current stars right now, some of them are on major droughts, right? So Spieth, McIlroy, Koepka, right? They're on major droughts. But maybe Cam Smith becomes the next guy to roll off two or three over the next 4 to 5 years. And now you've got another young guy. You know, Morikawa's won two of the last 12, right? But I wanted to see him back, and I thought that after the British Open he was going to take off, and I think it was stalled. Now that he made a choice, right? He made a choice, but I do think that some of the penalties have been stiff.
He still can win the majors though, because like correct. You said, he's good for the next 5 years to play in every single one,
right?
And good pretty much for life. I mean, essentially to 60 years old, and he's what, like 26? So he'll be in the Open Championship for quite some time.
Sure. And I'm really happy that they're all going to get to go to the majors. And we do have to take into account that the Players Championship is the marquee event of the PGA Tour. And that's right. Where the rage exists. PGA Tour, LIV Tour. But I want to get back to the can we change topic? Are we good?
Please.
We're good on LIV. Let's talk about the PGA Tour, because we're going to segue from the competition of these two tours into what it has actually done to the PGA Tour. And Phil was right. Hot take. Phil was right. Period. You cannot deny it. And in fact, Rory McIlroy, who is essentially the lead talking head for the PGA Tour, said, yep, LIV has essentially made all elite golfers a lot more money. So getting to that, you mentioned the Quicken Loans tournament. I am upset about the fact that there are now going to be tournaments that are limited field, no cut, only elite players, and you're essentially creating a minor league PGA Tour within the PGA Tour. You're not calling it the Korn Ferry Tour, which is a development league. Right. You're still branding it PGA Tour, but you're not going to have PGA Tour upper echelon players there. They're only going to go to these limited field events, and it's so much like LIV. So it's a little distressing to me. And you know, like when I told you I saw Charles Howell III, that was a small, not big draw tournament in Virginia. It's not around anymore, but that right. was the type of tournament that I could go see up and comers. And I can say I saw Charles Howell III win his first tournament. And I just feel like these diluted fields are really going to hurt the overall.
Well, it's only well, that's where I have to disagree with you. It's not diluted. It's diluted in the numbers, but I don't like the no cut scenario. Yeah. And the other thing that I don't like is on the lower end of these tournaments, you know, normal fields, cuts after Friday, you got guys on there that essentially, if they're missing one putt, if they're hitting one driver off the tee and it finds the rough and they mess up, they're going back to folding quarter zips. And now you even take that opportunity away, because some of these fields are going to be, you know, smaller, and they're not even going to get a chance to play in those events. Therefore, they won't get a chance to earn enough PGA, you know, points on the PGA Tour to qualify for things like the FedEx Cup, to qualify for majors. So I don't like elevating that. And it's turning it into similar things that have happened with other sports like baseball, where essentially teams are saying, we're not going to pay, you know, an average fourth outfielder, because what's the point? I'll just find a new one cheap on the cheap. And the PGA Tour is essentially taking money away from these lower level type players, even like, what's his name? Joel Damon, right?
Right.
guys like that, where it's like, okay, now I really got to up my game, and the stars are going to get all the money, just like they do in football, just like they do in the NBA, and just like they do in baseball. If you look at some of these, those contracts, that's what's happening. And you're right. Tournaments like the Quicken Loans, tournaments.
How is
like
that not going to be a diluted event? You said you don't agree.
Well, no, it's diluted only in numbers. It's not diluted in the stars, because you're going to get to see the stars. And the one thing that I do
like, not at the Quicken Loans, you're going to only see people who just barely got a
right
out of Corn Ferry Tour, who then won't even get a chance to go to these invitationals. So that's diluted to me.
But wouldn't the big time guys like Rory, like Scottie Scheffler, wouldn't they still be playing in, you know, the quote unquote diluted events? The lower
they're not going
to
play the Sanderson Farms. They don't even play it now. I think the Quicken Loans will get diluted. You still get a couple stars at that one, but the Greenbrier, well, and that's the other thing. Let's talk about, great point. If I'm the CEO of a corporation that puts $20 million into a tournament, and I'm only getting one out of the top 20 players in the world to come, I don't want to give my money to you anymore. And I heard they're raising the cost of sponsoring a tournament. So you're going to raise my price up and give me less. You know, I've been through that crap before. When I was a Bullets Wizard season ticket holder back in DC, we had good seats. When they got the new stadium, they raised the price and put us further from the court.
Oh, they're always screwing the fan. But the one thing is, if you are a fan and you got tickets to a Saturday to one of these elevated events, which has, you know, the smaller field, you know you're going to get to see your favorite player. It might not be with you know, the time you want to see them. They might not be the last group out on Sunday, but you'll get to see them. So that is the one thing that the fan is actually being, you know, taken care of. And you're right, it is kind of crazy that it took Greg Norman trying to start this other league. And the reason he did it, and I don't know if people know, the reason he did it is because when he was at his, you know, prime, he was trying to go back home to Australia and play in those events in Australia, which had nothing really to do with the PGA Tour. And they basically just, you know, flipped him the bird, for lack of a better term, where they said, all right, we'll let you play in it, but you got to play in another event. So now all of a sudden he's adding two events to his calendar, one in Australia, one, you know, more nondescript event on the PGA Tour, you know, the Westchester Open or something. I'm just making this up.
Right. Well, so what you're bringing up is arguably one of the reasons why Cam Smith went to live. He wanted to bring professional golf at the elite level back to Australia. He wants to go home. He wants to play in front of his people. I get that. And, you know,
events are they doing in Australia? Like, be real.
I think it's two. I got to double check. But let's recognize what other sports have done, right? The NBA has gone overseas. The NFL has gone overseas. Major League Baseball has played events overseas. And the PGA Tour plays overseas. DP Tour, these are partnerships, right? Why not go to Australia? I don't get it.
Right. The PGA Tour, they could do an event in Australia definitely early in the year. I mean, you definitely have got the space. You could, I mean, here, let's just say this, the Honda Classic in Palm Beach Gardens there, Honda's pulling out of sponsoring that. Maybe you do a tournament in Australia right before the rest of the Florida swing picks up. So maybe an opportunity.
Well, and getting back to our earlier point, why is Honda pulling out?
Well, Honda's in a situation, from what I understand, where they weren't making as many cars. They're, you know, due to the chip shortage, they're not selling as many cars. Therefore, the discretionary funds to sponsor a tournament like that, which my parents have been to because they're down there in the Palm Beach Gardens area.
Well, but
it's a phenomenal tournament.
Let's face the fact that your Sunday finish at the Honda Classic was a guy who was 36 years old chasing his very first PGA Tour win, and a guy who I love because he's in sobriety. He hasn't won in almost 8 years. So the Honda Classic is not drawing marquee names. And in fact, the world's best players,
they live 40 miles, if that, not even.
Well, guess where they were at? They were at a member pro tournament at an exclusive golf club playing strictly for bragging rights.
Right.
If I'm Honda, I don't care if I'm selling 100 million more cars. I'm not giving the PGA Tour my money anymore because I'm not getting, I have the world's best players choosing to go to some scramble event.
Right. And they all live right near there. Like I said, 30, 40 miles up the road in Jupiter, which is, you know, it's a super exclusive community up there. I mean, that's where Tiger lives. I think if you watch that back, or what's it called, Full Swing, Dustin Johnson's over there. So, yeah.
Jeff, they're all over there.
Yeah, and it's just like back in the day, there'd be guys who live in Phoenix, Scottsdale, and they wouldn't even play the Phoenix Open. Paul Casey, I'm talking to you, because he was afraid to play it. Not that he's as good as Tiger Woods or anything, but you get the idea. All right, let's shift gears here a little bit.
Let's do it.
Just some wild cards here. You were at a golf equipment show. Anything you learned that you want to share with our audiences here for Brown Bear and the Schloss Ramp podcast?
Yeah, so I have hit essentially everything that is out and new for 2023. I work for a company called Curated. We're an online retailer, and we had all the vendors come out to Arizona and put on a demo. It was 48 hours. I hit hundreds of balls. Still sore, and it ended on Wednesday.
No spry chicken. Let's be real. You are no spry chicken anymore. When I first met you, you were. Not anymore.
I think there might be a sleeper driver.
Are you allowed to say that or no? Are you allowed to tell us the name? Did they slip a 20 or maybe a 100 in your back pocket while you're on the range?
I am in the process of filming reviews for Curated. Okay. I've got
where can we find that for my audience who might not interact with you? Where can we find that?
If you go to YouTube and type in Curated Golf Club Reviews, under the Curated company name, we sell many things. There's a whole playlist that's just golf. So you'll see I've done probably 20, 25 reviews, and I'm going to do 27 just this year. In fact, I just got a box from Mizuno and got 7 different clubs. So I'm going to tell you this. The product that I was impressed with, and I can say this, I'm going to do a full review. Okay. So I'm going to put this club.
Give us a pop. Give us a preview.
Yep. Here. I'm going to put this club through a full multiple week test. But being there and having 2 days to try everything, you kind of have to try them real quick.
Okay.
But I was excited about the Wilson Dynapower Carbon driver. And yeah, Wilson has been kind of, you know, sitting on the bench, for lack of a better term, for quite some time.
Gary Woodland won the US Open with some Wilson clubs in 2019.
Irons.
All right, so I had now, something.
The public knows that Wilson makes good irons. They have, and they've been doing that. Okay. So those are appreciated, but not drivers. So even their players who would play the irons wouldn't play the drivers. But I liked what I saw and what I felt, and so I think that could be a sleeper. Again, I only hit it a few times. It's more of like the vendors come share with us. But I'm going to get it in depth. So we'll see how it goes.
Okay. For those that don't know, Miguel, when I say, and I'm not just blowing smoke up his rear end here, when I say Miguel's a great player, you know, obviously he's not going to be out there on any type of, you know, tour, but this is a guy who hits the ball 300 yards right down the middle. And if he doesn't do it, I'm surprised. And I haven't played with you in a couple of years, but genuinely to see you, you know, even miss a fairway by an inch is a surprise. So,
well,
I would take what he says, not just with a grain of salt, but maybe several million grains of salt.
Right. There you go. There you go. I appreciate those very kind words. The driver is my strength.
The truth.
And then I end up chunking the 65 yard pitch shot and I end up bogeying. So somebody said to me once, said old guy, he goes, man, you can drive far. That is a great drive. And then as we walked off the green, he said, even better bogey. Little rough, old man. Little rough.
As he's hitting a, you know, 162 yard worm burner down the middle.
Yeah.
And then hitting his 3-wood. Yeah.
And he got 150
out. Yeah. Probably. That's how you big bombers always work. You and Bryson. Bryson can't even hit an 8-iron. That's why he went to live.
But I at least hit it in the fairway.
You do. You definitely do. All right. Real quick. You got it. We're in March now. You got a couple more months, you know, till those prices start to drop down. I remember you know, getting on Quintero for cheap, getting on TPC for cheap, getting that on Wikipaw for cheap. Any courses besides those are kind of the big three when I think of Arizona courses. Anyone you're looking forward to playing out there in my old stomping grounds?
I have yet to play Wikipaw.
Oh, you gotta get out there.
I gotta get out there. Oh,
it's perfect. I know you're more of like a Northwest Central Valley guy. This is, you know, over in Fountain Hills. All right. No, it's past Fountain Hills. It's on the Native American Reservation, Fort McDowell. You gotta get out there.
I'm gonna get out there.
Pristine, and I played it about 2 days before I moved back east to Philly here. It was 118 degrees out that day.
That's a little too hot for me, bro. I cap out at 113. But speaking of 113, the course I'm going to tell
what
you.
That's what I usually shoot 113. So
you asked what course. It's a course I haven't played in over a year, and it's on the opposite direction, West Valley. Okay. It's a two-track course. I've only played one track because I like it so much that if I'm going to drive all the way out there, I just want to pay and play the course that I know I like, and that's called Verado. The Founders course at Verado. Now, I've heard that their victory course is awesome, too, but I'm in love with the Verado course. I love Quintero. I've played every year for the last 3 years in the summer when I can afford it, and right. I look forward to getting back out there again. There's some really good tracks here. Lookout Mountain, I think, is an underrated track. I have a
– Oh, that 10th hole is something. That 10th hole, and you're coming off, you know, hole number nine, where it's like an 85-yard for me.
Par three.
And everyone seems to mess that freaking hole up.
Oh, I don't know.
It's not just me. I'm pulling out my 52-degree or 56-degree probably, and I'm still messing it up and making a bogey. And then, you know, you have that 10th hole where you're a million miles up in the air, and that you're just looking down at everything. That tee shot, I mean, that is – It's a hard tee shot on 10.
From the farthest point, which is what they call their back tee.
Right.
It's the highest tee to fairway discrepancy in the entire valley. It's a 160-foot drop. That's 16 stories. It's a fun hole.
If I'm remembering it, and I haven't played there in almost 2 years, and I'm remembering and breaking it down, you know, hole by hole. So, yeah, that's a good spot. But for me here on the East Coast, honestly, I don't have anything I'm looking for. Forward to particularly most of the courses here that I get on, because the private courses here, I mean, you can't get on them, obviously. You got to know someone. But the public ones here, they're all just pretty good. Everything's like a 6.5 to 7 out of 10. There's nothing that like wows me, but right. It's always good to get out there.
Yeah. So that's how I started my golf business career. I was working at a course outside of DC, and it was, you know, a 7. It was a daily fee.
The grass is always good here because we get rain.
Absolutely. It's always green. It's always lush. So that's true. I kind of miss it.
It's not bad. The golf is not as good as it is in Arizona as a whole, but it's not bad. All right, Brown Bear. Our Zoom is about to end.
It is.
So we're going to call it here for the golf segment. We'll talk again soon, though.
All right, sir. Thanks for having me. Talk to you later.
All righty. Peace.